Good morning, church. My name is Max Heller. I'm the college pastor for Grace Community Church, and I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. We are kicking off Advent, and it has been a joy to sing with you. I don't know if you noticed this, but we sang a lot about the names of God, and Emmanuel is one of them, and Emmanuel is what we will be talking about this morning, God with us. What an incredible hope we have in that name, Emmanuel, God with us. Be careful. Be quiet. Do not fear. Do not let your heart be faint. Be careful. Be quiet. Do not fear. Do not let your heart be faint. These are the words that the Lord gave to Isaiah when the prophet was sent to meet Ahaz at a moment of desperation for this king. In Isaiah 7, just two chapters before what Sakin and Oz read for us, the reigning king of Judah was given some troubling news. In verse 2, it says, "When the house of David was told, Syria is in league with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind." His heart shook. Has your heart ever felt like that? I know mine has. Has the wind of panic and fear ever blown through the forest of your heart? A strong gust of wind that makes you wonder if God knows what he's doing. A wind that feels like it will never let up and makes you wonder, is God listening? Maybe a storm that broke some of your limbs and leaves you, even on the best days, still remembering the storms that have come. In verse 4, the Lord uses the mouth of the prophet Isaiah to encourage Ahaz and his people. Maybe verse 4 will encourage you also. "And say to him, be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint." Easy to say, and maybe easier to believe if the prophet Isaiah was the one telling you these things, but it's still hard to have hope when you know that a powerful enemy is planning an attack against you. This is where Ahaz found himself when the prophet Isaiah encouraged him to be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint. But it was verse 10 later that the Lord gives reason to have hope against this great enemy. Verse 10 says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel, God with us. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. God's people were in waiting. Ahaz was in waiting. We are waiting. As we observe the first week of Advent, we do so with two purposes in mind. The part that you're probably most familiar with is celebrating the birth of Jesus and remembering how God's people were waiting with expectation for the nativity of their Lord, Emmanuel, a name meaning God with us. The second part of Advent is about preparing for the second coming of Jesus. That is our waiting. There are two parts of Advent. We remember Israel's waiting as we consider our own waiting. We remember Israel's waiting as we consider our own waiting. Be careful. Be quiet. Do not fear. Do not let your heart be faint. Be careful is more about remembering what God has done and careful not to forget. Be quiet is about a heart and soul that is joyfully at peace with a mouth that is an overflow of that heart. Do not fear because God is with you and he is for you. Do not let your heart be faint, but have courage and take heart. What is Ahaz being encouraged to do here? He's being encouraged to have hope, to care to remember all that God has done, to be at peace that God is in control. God is for you. And so whom shall you fear? Take heart. Just like Ahaz, we are too. We wait for what is to come by first remembering what has been done. This is what Ahaz is called to do. This is what we are called to do. We wait for what is to come by first remembering what has been done. And so this morning, we are going to do that by looking at Isaiah 9 together. If you have your Bibles, I would love to encourage you to turn there to Isaiah 9. Isaiah is this incredibly interesting book that, if you don't know, was written several hundred years before Jesus is born. This book is written several hundred years before Jesus is born. This was a people still waiting for Emmanuel, waiting for their king, and judgment was pronounced just before chapter 9 starts, at the end of chapter 8, verse 22. Let's look at it together. And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. Judgment was just pronounced upon Israel. We just sang this when we sang, O come, Emmanuel, about the darkness and the gloom. But look at chapter 9, verse 1. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. Formerly what was gloom, in the latter will be glory. Emmanuel, Jesus is the great light and the movement from darkness to light. Isaiah knows what it is that will take us from gloom to glory and from darkness to light. Later in verse 5, he will say, "For unto us a child is born." Isaiah knows what it is that will take us from gloom to glory and from darkness to light. Let's look at Matthew 4 real quick, where Matthew quotes Isaiah. This is so interesting. Now, in chapter 4, verse 12, now, when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in a territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. And then he quotes, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Remember Israel's waiting. We are to remember Israel's waiting. Here, he is fulfilling the prophecy from Isaiah. This is so cool that 700 years later, and Jesus is doing it. living in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. As we wait for what is to come, we remember what has been done and what is to come. What is to come? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Back in Isaiah, we'll pick up in verse 3. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. God has multiplied the nations and increased its joy. God has multiplied the nations and increased its joy, and we even get to see what this joy is like. He says, as with joy at the harvest. As with joy at the harvest, when needs are met, when food is provided, when we have been provided for, that kind of joy. He also says, as they are glad when they divided the spoil. The enemy has been defeated, and the joy of dividing the spoil of a victorious battle is ours. This is the joy and what it is like. The yoke of burden, the staff on our shoulder, and the rod of his oppressor is broken. This is what gives us joy. For the yoke of burden, the staff on our shoulder, the rod of his oppressor is broken. And he even says, as on the day of Midian. Our college students are actually going through the book of Judges this semester. And many of them will know what this means, as on the day of Midian. In Judges, Gideon comes up against the Midianites, radically outnumbered. Radically outnumbered. The opposition was like locusts in the field. And Gideon even takes his army down to 300. Because it makes it clear with 300 men that the Lord wins the battle for them. When Gideon comes up against the Midianites, the Lord makes it clear that it is the Lord that wins the battle for them. Only the Lord could have done it, and it is the same here in this battle. It is the same here. That the yoke of his burden, the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor have been broken as on the day of Midian. The enemy is not just defeated, but the pain of battle that many of us know has purpose. And this victory over our oppressors actually provides fuel. Look at the end of that verse. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. God has a great victory over the enemy, and a new governor will rule now. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of the peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is Emmanuel, God with us. What an incredible hope we have. I was watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and there were two commercials that actually really stuck out to me. Probably because they made me emotional, and I like when a commercial makes me cry. Like, I'm like, yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. There was actually a Liberty Mutual commercial later. That was not one of, I mean, it stuck with me too. But it started off by saying there's this lady, and she walks out in front of a set, and she says, "Research shows that people remember commercials with nostalgia." And then it goes on to kind of show like a Christmas scene of people unwrapping presents. And that actually ended up being very true for me, because Kroger and Coca-Cola both had a commercial with kind of the same idea. And so if any of you watched the Macy's Day Parade, you might know one or both of these. It was funny and ironic kind of how similar they were. It always makes me wonder if they knew they were doing the same thing. But both commercials actually began with a man opening a cookbook. One of the men kind of just stumbles upon this cookbook. He finds it and discovers it. The other one, he like drops it on the table. And you can tell that this cookbook does not belong to this man. It became evident in both commercials that the man does not usually open the cookbook alone, whether by the fumbling through the process of making the recipe in the cookbook or by scenes that you see of the past of the man and his wife making something together. Both were about the process of making and eating apple pies. Apple pies. The taste, it reminded them of the person who was normally there with them making that apple pie. The commercials both end with the men at peace in the holiday season, able to press on through this loss as they remember their loved one through the taste or process of an apple pie. And so all of us are wiping tears at the end of this commercial. I still remember the morning of Thanksgiving when I picked up a call from my grandmother. Her voice sounded different as she asked to talk to one of my parents. I found out later that my aunt had passed away. Really suddenly that morning, on Thanksgiving morning, leaving her husband and her two children. I don't know why wind like that blows through the forest of our hearts, but I know that a cookbook and the taste of apple pie is not what gives me hope in this life. Memories are not a bad thing. An apple pie is definitely not a bad thing. But you can tell that the world is looking for hope. Aren't you searching for hope? The hope that we have is Emmanuel. God came to be with us. And he put his spirit in believers. That is God with you. And he will return so that we can be with him. It's so easy to get distracted by apple pie that we forget eternity. We forget eternity. Well, you better believe I went out and bought some Coca-Cola that night. I would have gone to a Kroger, but we don't have any here in Tyler. But what does it look like to live with hope? What does it look like to live with hope? Do people who have hope go Christmas caroling? Is that it? Do they buy less presents? Do they volunteer more at the food pantry? Maybe they do. Maybe these things are true of people who have hope in Jesus. First Peter tells us to always be prepared to give a defense for the hope that we have. So we know it has something to do with something people can see and ask us to defend. I'm convinced that it starts with you and God. Do you believe that he is a wonderful counselor filled with wisdom to guide you and remind you that he is in control? Do you believe that he is a strong and mighty God, able to calm your fears? Do you believe that he is an everlasting Father, able to care for you when your heart grows faint? Do you believe that he is the Prince of Peace, able to quiet your soul? And do you believe that he is Emmanuel, God with us? Do you believe that God took on flesh? That he lived a perfect life? That he died on the cross for our sins? That when we place our faith in him, the power and penalty of our sin has been paid? That he rose from the grave and ascended to heaven and sits on the throne forever? It is this hope that changes you. And if you believe this, then it changes everything. Everything. The very end of our passage today says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. As we wait for what is to come, we wait with hope for this kingdom of peace that has no end, fulfilling the promises to David. God will establish and uphold this kingdom that is just and righteous. This new kingdom will last forever with Jesus on the throne. This is why Emmanuel came. For to us, a child is born. Pray with me. God, thank you for today. God, thank you for Advent. The waiting. God, thank you for the history of your people in waiting. God, thank you for the nativity of your Son, our Lord, Emmanuel. God, would this be a season of being reminded and remembering what it is that we truly have hope in? God, would you use this season in a powerful way in our lives? And God, would you be with us as we wait? God, we love you. We trust you. Amen.